7:32, Wes McElroy, Fox Sports 910. Will Wade, feeling a little lost about his VCU team. We'll dive into that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Wes McElroy, and you can find me on Twitter at Wes, Fox Sports 910. And right now it is a Wednesday. That means you can find John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates, joining us for some non-political college football talk. How are you this morning, my friend?
Good. You don't want to break down any politics?
No, I think we're good today. I think we're not going to go there. I think we have enough people ticked at us for other reasons. We'll just probably just play it smart. Let's dive into some college football because we do have the Hokies in the polls up to number 14, and I'll get your thoughts on that in a second. But what people want to know is Georgia Tech coming up this weekend, tough, hard-fought. Last 4 minutes of that game showed a lot of adversity, but how beat up is this team right now, John?
Yeah, you know what's interesting is you're not going to be as beat up this week as you were against Duke, at least on the defensive line, Wes. I really think you're going to get Nigel Williams back this week. I think he was very close. I don't think that was any dog and pony show to have him dress and then not play him. I think they really thought he was going to play against Duke, and I watched him yesterday, and I think he's good to go. Meanwhile, I think Kenny Canham didn't have any setbacks, and he should be better than he was against Duke because he was clearly not 100% against the Blue Devils. Trayvon Hill got a little bit nicked up, so he might not be where he was. But Vinny Mahota on the other side, apparently, according to Charlie Wiles, is getting closer. But you do have those losses in Terrell Edmonds, obviously, for the first half, and then Greg Stroman, if he's unable to play in this game on the back end. But those are positions, I think, where you're probably going to see a ton of Anthony Chigag and be okay. So it's starting to get a little bit patched, but it's still not to the point where it was last year.
Let me go back to what you said there about Stroman, because Bud said last night he's day-to-day, which that means take it as you will, and we'll have to see until Saturday. If he's not out there, and Duke is different than Georgia Tech, but is Chigag the guy who steps in?
Yeah, and Bud was talking last night about shuffling some guys and what I think he meant by that, and he said we're testing out some different things throughout this week. But I think what you have the ability to do, if you remember, for a lot of camp, you felt like Anthony Chigag was going to be that whip position, and not at the very last moment, but in the last couple of weeks of camp, they started to use Mook Reynolds when Chigag had that nicked up ankle in both the whip and the nickel, and Mook played so well that you've never really gone back to that. So I think what you're able to do, because Mook is more of a cover corner if at times, if you need him to be, and you don't need a ton of that, obviously, against Georgia Tech, is you're able to move him over to fill for Terrell and then potentially get Anthony Chigag on the field, because the goal is to have your best 11. And I think that's one of the ways they potentially may look at it. But I think Bud has enough personnel back there to tinker with things based upon where you are in that football game. But I would expect, as you did in the final minutes after Terrell Edmonds got ejected from that game against Duke, to expect to see Anthony Chigag at some point.
John Lazor, voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Whether you're talking to Bud or whether it was in his press conference, there's personnel and then there's execution. What's the biggest thing when you're going up against a triple option offense? What did Bud say?
Well, you've got to trust your reads, Wes, and you've got to be stout in your angles. And I think he was very disappointed not only in those two things, but also in the tackling the last couple of games. And that's one of those aspects of being banged up. And I thought it really started to show up in that Pitt game, which you were fortunate to win. I didn't think he was happy at all with the way the Hokies, particularly the linebackers, despite the fact that their names often lead the way in terms of tackles, tackled in that football game. So I think you need an excellent tackling effort from Andrew Motuopuaka and also from Tremaine Edmonds. But when these guys on the line, if you're going to be in the game, have an opportunity to bring someone down on the line and not let them get to the second level of the defense where they continually have to make the stops, then you need to do that. And I know, despite the fact that they wanted Duke, that Bud was not pleased at all with the tackling. But a lot of times to make the tackle, you have to be in the proper position. So the reads off the fakes and the level of aggressiveness against some of those play fakes, and Daniel Jones really exploited those, and obviously Justin Thomas and the spread option attack certainly can do that even to a higher degree or to another level. So that's the concern going in.
Yeah, let's not sell this as one side looking bleak or just banged up, because it's the other side. Georgia Tech's offense, Thomas leaves that game in the third quarter last week. Now, Paul Johnson said he expects him to go, but they were without two running backs last week, and they don't even know if they're going to be with their center this week. They may be playing a true freshman at center.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. The center would be what concerns me, because you do have some more dynamic backs, and I think that offensive line as a whole is better than it has been. Dedrick Mills really pops off the film at you, as does Justin Thomas when he's right. And that center position makes it go. And you've seen for Virginia Tech when they wanted to push the tempo earlier on in the season and they didn't have a clear definitive answer at center what that can do for you. So that's where I would keep my eye if I was backing Georgia Tech, which I'm obviously not. But that's what I would have my eye on as to whether or not that position is going to be in turmoil. But I really feel like, Wes, that this is a game on the other side that it's going to be what it is in terms of what Paul Johnson and that offense get against your defense. I don't think they're going to light up the scoreboard, but I don't think they're going to get shut down either. I think this is a game that Virginia Tech needs to win with their offense,
yep,
which they felt like they could have and should have done against Pittsburgh and didn't really. They did a lot of good things, but didn't get into the end zone as much as they'd like and obviously didn't do against Syracuse or Duke.
Yeah, John Lazor with us, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Coverage begins 2 o'clock on Saturday on Fox Sports 910, 96.1 The Planet. Yeah, because Justin Fuente said it perfectly, and I watched this game on Saturday. He said Notre Dame and Navy played each other, and Notre Dame had, what, 6 possessions on offense, scored on 5 of them, and still lost. This is one of those games where you can't have 3 and outs for obvious reasons to wear down your defense, but this is one of those games you're only going to get so many times with the ball. You're only going to get so many possessions on offense, and it's what you do or do not do that decides the ball game.
Yeah, without question. And at times, particularly the Syracuse game, I felt like the Hokies didn't do a good job of valuing those possessions, particularly in the second half, despite the fact that that's when they came back to tie the game and you allowed Syracuse to just absolutely wear out your defense. Well, Georgia Tech will do that. And it doesn't mean that you have to score every time you touch the football, but it does mean that you can't get out there and get yourself behind the sticks and get yourself in desperate situations. And the Hokies have not been in those places, Wes, at any point this season at Lane Stadium, save for maybe the first quarter against Liberty. They've been an absolute dynamo offensively at home, and for whatever that reason is, haven't necessarily carried that onto the road. So I think that's what I and the wise guys are looking at this week, is for that offense to get clicking, because there's nothing on paper, particularly the Georgia Tech defensive line and the lack of pressure that they've created, that would indicate that Jerrod Evans shouldn't have a gigantic day.
A lot was made about the final 4 minutes of that game last week, and what happened, I think a lot was made about the ejection, targeting penalty, but I think a lot has to be made about how this team responded in the final 4 minutes. And I know I've asked you this question before, but let me ask you about what happened last week. What did this team learn about itself in the final 4 minutes against Duke?
Well, it's funny. That's exactly what Justin Fuente said yesterday. He said, I need you to be that team right out of the tunnel that you were the last 5 minutes of the game at Wallace Wade Stadium, because there's a level that this team is capable of playing to, Wes, on both sides of the ball, that we've seen in flashes, and we saw it in the big moments against Duke, no more so the case than after Terrell Edmunds was ejected for targeting and Duke had the ball at midfield looking like they were either going to tie the game or go ahead deep in that game, and suddenly you're tackling better, and suddenly you're taking the better route defensively, and suddenly you're giving that extra push, Wyatt Teller carrying Jerrod Evans for the final first down in that football game, and seemingly the group collectively got ticked off or in a bad mood, and that's what he is saying, Coach Fuente, is that in order to be a national level, elite level team, you have to be able to dip into that more often than just in times of adversity or just in times where you are actually upset. You need to be able to bring that mentality to the field. And the Hokies, again, have done a much better job of doing that at home at Lane Stadium than they have on the road.
Finally back home to play a home game against Georgia Tech. It is Saturday. It's 3:30 right here on Fox Sports 910. More with John Lazor. We'll talk a little Hokies basketball. And we've missed this the past couple weeks, but there will be a lightning round next with John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff there for you in any case on your home for the Hokies. Fox Sports 910. John Lazor, voice of Virginia Tech, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys and staff there for you in any case. Cowan Gates talking a little Hokie football, also a little basketball, man. That snuck up on us. Friday night, you guys are back at it.
Yeah, no, it really did, and I'm looking forward to it. I really like being around this team, and really excited for this season. Williams joined us on Tech Talk Live in mid-season form already on Monday night, so he's fired up and ready for the year, and so am I.
Maine, 8 o'clock, Friday night. Give me the one thing.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Oh, man, you got a late night coming up. All right, what's the one thing that excites you most about this team on the floor? Because it's been building, it's been brewing, it's been bubbling. Now that you see the product, what's got you going into 2016?
Yeah, I think it's the experience that you have coming into the second season for Justin Robinson and Chris Clark, because I'm really excited about the player that Chris Clark can be. I don't know if he's all the way there yet, but I do know some of the strides that he has attempted to make in the gym through the offseason, namely with his jump shot. And I just think he has the athletic ability and the intelligence level to be a special type player. And I think Justin Robinson will develop into that true point guard that you didn't necessarily have at times last season. And then you couple that with the depth, with getting back Ahmed Hill and Ty Outlaw. So that is what I am looking for, is how much of a jump can those guys make? Because I think the jump that this team is able to make will be predicated on what level they can take that to.
All right, the Pipes, 9 o'clock Friday night. Hokie basketball, we want to let you know Hokie basketball is on 96.1 The Planet, and Hokie football is on Fox Sports 910 and 96.1 The Planet. So Friday night, if you're looking for Lays and you're looking for Buzz and the boys, 96.1 The Planet. You guys are on at 8:30, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. We're excited about that, by the way, having that FM signal at night down in Richmond. I know that's been something that has concerned some folks, so we're looking forward to that, and I think people have enjoyed it for football, too. So 8:30, we'll be on the air Friday.
There you go. Lays and Mr. Burnett with a busy weekend. Right now, let's get busy. Let's go with a lightning round. John Lazer's got 5 questions for me. I've got 5 questions for him. We have no clue what's coming. You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
Go ahead, my friend.
All right, since we're in a political theme this morning, what Virginia Tech football player has a future career in office?
No, it's not even close. It's Richmond's own Sam Rogers, and they use him in that role. He is the team politician and spokesman, along with Kenny Canham, who would be his running mate, whether it be a Canham for president or Rogers for president. But every week they come to the podium, and they read off the sheet, and they give you the answers that you want to hear. They're both great at it, so it would be one of those two guys.
Well done at the podium. Next.
When you go to the polls, Wes, do you think out your attire so you seem worldly and informed?
I didn't know about this yesterday. I didn't know if you wore a certain color, it meant this or it meant that. Lays, you know me, man. You know my clothes get laid out at about 10 o'clock at night before I go to bed, and I stumble and put them on at about 3:45 in the morning. So, no, I did not think out of what I'm going to look like at the polls. Sorry to disappoint you. How about you? You're a fashionable man.
Well, I just look good every day.
There you go. The humble John Lazer. Next. In honor of Georgia Tech coming to town, be nostalgic. Do you wish more teams ran the triple option, the run and shoot, or the wishbone?
No, I absolutely do not. I do not care for any of those offenses. I don't say that as a football fan. I say it as a broadcaster, because they're the most difficult offenses to call, because with all the misdirection and play fakes, it's hard to identify where the ball is. It reminds me of when I used to try to call the old wing tee back in high school, where it would be essentially the same thing. It was brutal. So no, but as Justin Fuente said on Tech Talk Live this week, football is a circle, and eventually we'll get back to all those things. We'll have the veer back in place and the single wing and all those deals. So in about 10 years, look for that to become fashionable again, but I will not be a fan of it, no.
So you called the Delaware wing tee back in high school?
The wing tee, yeah, but the best part was the offense that I was calling for, the team that I did every week, was using pro set, 4 receivers, and all of that. So at least we had it on one side of the ball.
All right, I'll just give you a mental image. We ran the wing tee in high school, and I was 5'11", 160 pounds, and I was the pulling guard. Have fun have fun with that one. And there's a reason we went 2-8 that season. Next.
How did we ever win 2? The Chicago Cubs win the World Series West. No more curse of the Bambino. No more curse of the Billy Goats. Are we done with curses? And if so, have we lost a little something?
Yeah, we kind of have. I'm happy the Cubs won. If the Cubs were to win in any fashion, it had to be the way that it went down last week. But there is that lure, that legend, that nostalgia that is gone. And I don't know of any other curses that we have out there that are of noteworthy, that are somewhat believable. And yes, there is. I used the parallel last week. I said it was like Indiana Jones finding the Holy Grail, and now we're on to the next adventure, but nothing seems to be as big as finally seeing the Cubs win the World Series. Next! I had a black tie event on Friday night and then wore a tuxedo. Be honest, when you put on a tux, do you feel more like James Bond or Bruce Wayne?
James Bond, of course, man of mystery. I'll go get the scotch also. But I can't remember. I was thinking about this. I can't remember the last time that I wore a tux, to be quite honest with you. I think I finally got through the age where I've gone through the second cycle of my friends getting married. You have a wave in your mid-20s, and then you have a wave in your early 30s. And I'm through both of those. So I don't know when the next time I'll get to feel like James Bond is.
Was the last tux my wedding?
Maybe. Yours are ops. No, ops, I guess. No, I wasn't wearing a tux for ops. Yeah, I think it was.
We look good in our tux.
You answer the own question. Yeah, I mean, which one? You can just look on your father's mantle for a picture, and you can answer your own question as to who I looked like that day.
Jackass. Next.
Richard Sherman.
You know how many times people ask me, is that true? Like, does your dad really have a picture of you and him together on our mantle at the house? And I'm like, yes, it sits right there. There's no wedding picture of my wife and I in the living room. Not one. But there's a picture of my dad and Lays on my wedding day together in the living room.
So you should ask him that question. I think James Bond, I think, is clearly the answer.
Next.
Wes, Richard Sherman basically recited my rant from your show from 4 years ago about the NFL a couple of weeks ago, and suddenly people now want to listen. Why do they listen to Richard and not to me?
Because he's Richard Sherman. And let me tell
That's
you.
That's not a good answer.
Because he's Richard Sherman. Next. Since Hillary had to call Donald last night and concede defeat, what's the one thing in the life of John Lazor that you've had to concede defeat to?
The fact that I wasn't going to play basketball at the Division I level, and I had to concede that, unfortunately, when I was a sophomore in high school. I remember the conversation where the coach pulled us in, my best friend Brad and I, into the room and said, look, you guys have been loyal to the program ever since you were in elementary school, but we can't get past the fact that each of you are 5'4" at the time. He said, we still want you to be around the program and help out. He was essentially offering us the practice squad or scout team position, and we both kind of looked at each other and we're like, nah, we're going to go raise a little trouble, and we had to concede that fact, unfortunately. And the other sports weren't far behind, Wes, because I didn't plow through and become a pulling guard on the football team despite my lack of size.
But you are now the voice of Virginia Tech basketball, so at least
I got
something.
The last word. Where are you at now, Denny Welter? Where are you
at
now?
Denny, up yours. John, get out of here. Have a good one, buddy.
You too.
See, that's right there, folks. That's what America needs. They need a little bit more of us in the morning. We've all had those moments, folks. We've all had those moments. All right, it's John Lazor. Hokies, once again, football. Fox Sports 910. We got it for you on Fox Sports 910 and 96.1 The Planet. Saturday, coverage begins at 2 o'clock, and the basketball, 8:30. Friday night, 96.1 The Planet. John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates. I'm back on Fox Sports 910. Maybe.